start out here with Mr. Ryan. Ryan, the theme of the conference was with, how God is with us. And throughout the conference, we kind of explain ways that God is with us. How is it that you took that God is with us?
In the belief series. And today, believe it or not, we're going to be on chapter 20. We started in chapter 1, it seems like a long time ago, but we've been plugging through, and now we're in chapter 20 in the belief series. And so I'm excited next week to hear Steve Collins bring the message to us. As I had spoke a few weeks back, this is next Sunday when he preaches to us. It'll mark the 50th anniversary of the very first sermon he'd ever preached. I think that's very unique and perhaps very God-ordained that he's going to come and preach to us that Sunday. The following 2 weeks after that, we'll have Easter messages. And then after Easter, the Sunday after Easter, we'll head back into Believe in chapter 21 through the end of chapter 30. And those 10 chapters are going to cover the fruits of the Spirit. What should be the result of our life as a Christian? So that's where we're heading in the next several weeks in our series of messages. I heard about a lady who went to her preacher, and she knew probably the end would be sooner than later, and she wanted to make some arrangements, and she told the minister, "I have two things that I want to happen. First, I want to be cremated, and second, I want my ashes spread at Walmart." And the preacher just kind of looked puzzled and said, why would you want your ashes spread at Walmart? And she said, "That way I know my daughter will visit me at least twice a week." Just a thought there for you. This morning we finish these 10 key practices to our faith. And I've got two questions for you this morning, and you can respond with a resounding yes if you'd like, but I'm going to ask you this. Do you believe Jesus is the only way to God? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to God? The other question is this. Do you believe that there's never-ending space in the eternal kingdom of God called heaven? Do you believe that there is never-ending space in the eternal kingdom of heaven? Now, if you said yes to that, my third question is this. Why aren't we more passionate about telling people? This morning's chapter is titled Sharing My Faith. And I want you to think for a moment, who was the person, or maybe it was a few people, who shared with you about who God was and how he sent his son to die for your sins and that Jesus resurrected 3 days later, defeating death, and that you need to have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to think of who that person was, or it could be a few people. I think for myself, as a little boy, my grandmother taking me to church and telling me about that. I remember my Aunt Ruth, who was a Sunday school teacher for the youngest kids in the church, telling me about that. I remember Viola, my late grade school Sunday school teacher. It was just me and one other kid in the class every single week. Yet she always told us about Jesus. I had a pause there in my teenage years where I had nothing to do with God or the church. And then I think of my wife, who I started dating when I was 18, bringing me back to what I had learned when I was young. And then I came to the realization that I needed Christ in my life. I hope you're thinking about the person or the people that led you to those decisions. What if they had never told you about it? What if they have never have spoken those words into your life? What would your life be like today? Who would you be today? Would it be different? Would you have been one who kind of fell through the cracks, and today you maybe had never heard of Christ or the importance of having Jesus as your Lord and Savior? But for you and I, for those who are in Christ, we're covered by the grace of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to share that with other people. We are to share our faith. This morning, I want to look at three very simple principles that outline why it is that God is calling us to be people who share our faith, the good news of Jesus Christ. The first is this: God calls us to share our faith. That this isn't an option. That God has called the Christian who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to proclaim that to others. We look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. The Apostle Paul says, "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And what I want us to understand, that Scripture teaches humanity is at odds with God. From the beginning of time, after Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were cast out of the garden. And because of that, the result of sin is that there is a divide between humanity and God. God uses a tool to help reconcile what had happened. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, we can be covered by the grace because of the blood that was spilled by Jesus, his sacrifice of his life. That tool of reconciliation is you and I. It's amazing. The God of the universe chose to use you and me as a Christian to help reconcile the world to God by using our lips and our actions to make Jesus known. And it also tells us here that we are ambassadors. If a person from the United States of America went to a foreign country as an ambassador of the United States of America, they would go there representing the beliefs and the values of the United States of America. Not their own personal agenda, but what our country stands for. And for you and I, as we go into the world, we're a tool to help reconcile humanity to God. And we do that by being an ambassador of Christ. How do we be an ambassador of Christ? We look at the examples of Jesus. We read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell us about how Jesus spoke, how he treated people, the love that he showed, the caring that he had for those who were hurting. And we go into a world, and we show that we're an ambassador of Christ. We represent Jesus. And it's amazing that God has chose to work through you and me, because we are very flawed people, each and every one of us. Yet God can see through and past that our lives can be renewed through Jesus Christ, and we're a tool used in the kingdom work of God to help reconcile people to a right relationship with God and be an ambassador, a representative of Jesus wherever we go. The key question in the book this week, in this chapter, says, how do I share my faith with those who do not know God? And that's a good question. We wrestle with that. We struggle with that. It can be intimidating to speak. The number one fear of all people across the board, the average, is the fear of speaking, especially public speaking. And when you add on that, the idea of sharing your faith, that can be very difficult. It can make us question or doubt, what do I say? How do I approach this? What do I do? And I want to give you some motivation this morning to help you in sharing your faith, because that's what God's called each and every one of us as a Christian to do. I want to look back at Acts chapter 2. The church is birthed. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost about what had happened 40 days earlier when Christ was crucified on a cross. 3 days later, some women went to the tomb and it was empty. We think that the coffee shops were full of this. Could you imagine what was going on in Jerusalem at the time? That Jesus, this prophet, this teacher, he's out of his tomb. This dust doesn't happen every day. The city was abuzz. And the day of Pentecost, Peter stands boldly and preaches about who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, and this man whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. That he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And he has been given all power. And many people respond to the message. They accept what it is that was said, and they are baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit of God that resided in a temple now went into the spirits of people. Let's look here at Acts chapter 2, verse 47. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I think it's unique. It doesn't say they were added on Sunday, but it says that they were added daily, those who were being saved. How does this happen? How did the early church accomplish this? Amidst the struggles that they were going to face as followers of Christ, surrounded by those who thought Christ was some lunatic or a false god, in a Roman world that did not accept what the Jews believed and specifically did not believe what followers of Christ believed. Let's look back a couple verses in verse 42. It says what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to four things. The apostles' teaching, what they knew of Christ and their experiences that eventually would be turned into the pages in your Bible. They devoted themselves, it says, to fellowship. This wasn't, oh, let's have some coffee and donuts after church or meet at the restaurant. Fellowship in the first century church was far more than just a casual conversation. It was living life together, bearing the concerns of one another, reaching out and helping in whatever way you can. That was true fellowship in the first century church. It says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Scholars question whether that specifically only means communion, what Jesus had instituted the night before his arrest, or if that meant that and a meal. But nonetheless, they committed themselves to remembering the sacrifice of Christ. And the fourth was they submitted themselves to prayer. One thing's missing here. It says nothing here that they committed themselves to evangelism. Yet the church daily grew. Why? Because a devoted follower of Christ who devotes themselves to the Word of God, to true fellowship with each other, to remembering Christ through the elements that exemplify Jesus' sacrifice and through prayer, evangelism is just an overflow of the grace that's already been poured on us. It should be assumed that the Christian is so grateful for what God has done for them in their life that evangelism would simply just happen. And that's what happened in that first century church. And I hope that's what happens for you and I. That we realize what it is that Christ has done for us, and we devote ourselves to the Word of God, to true fellowship, to remembering Christ's sacrifice, and to prayer. And a result of those things is evangelism. Here's a couple ways that we can evangelize. Living your faith is a great way to share your faith. People are always watching, aren't they? You ever feel like people are always watching you? I think back to Monsters, Inc., a little slug thing behind the counter. I'm always watching, Wazowski. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? If you don't know, look at Monsters, Inc. and watch it. It's a funny movie. People are always watching. And those in the world are always looking at those who say that they're a Christian in hopes that they might find a flaw to say, well, see that, I don't want to go to church. I mean, see, they don't act any different than I do. What a hypocrite. That's not fair, is it? It kind of hurts. But there's some truth on both sides of that, I think. Because that helps hold our feet to the fire. That when we're away from the church, it's very easy to live the example of a Christian. We walk in these doors. But what happens when we leave this place and we go to work and we're with our friends? Perhaps we're with a group of folks that aren't Christian. They could care less. It's very easy to slip into a different lifestyle and blend in with the crowd rather than be different. And so that can help hold our feet to the fire to live our faith. Oh, that's a challenge to you. Because we will either attract people to Christ or they'll be appalled of what it means to be a follower of Christ. All by your example. All by your actions. All by how you speak of people. All of how you treat people. Your morals and what you stand for, they're so valuable when it comes to sharing your faith. And we can't underestimate discipleship in the church. It tells us the early church devoted themselves to these four things. And the church does not grow unless the members of the church themselves grow. And so we have to be devoted people and realize that our faith that we live out day to day has much bearing on the example that we show to people, whether they want to come to faith. The third is this: speak up about your faith when the time is right. Evangelism, sharing our faith, isn't all about just our example, but it's also about what we say to people and saying at the right times. In the Old Testament, there was a leader of an army by the name of Naaman. It's in 2 Kings chapter 5. You can turn there if you want. We're going to read a couple of verses from this story. In Naaman's life as the king, as the leader of this army, he was very successful. Life was going great. It tells us in the first couple of verses in 2 Kings 5. But he is stricken with leprosy. This awful disease that attacks the skin, causes it to itch and to burn, causes deformations, to lose fingers, your nose perhaps, your ears, your lips. And the one thing about it is, it's highly contagious. So you have to be quarantined away from family and loved ones. The life that you knew now is over. And so he's in crisis. The story picks up, and I want to read verse 2 here. He puts together a group of men, and it says, "Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife." How frightening for this young girl. She's just in her yard, wherever, playing, doing chores in her home in Israel, and this band of men from Aram come in, and they take her as a captive back to northwest of Israel, and she's there as a servant girl or slave girl to Naaman's wife. But God had a plan for this young woman. Read in verse 3. "She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.'" What a daring thing to do. A captive, a young girl, speaking up to those that she serves. But she knew one thing. She knew that she served a very powerful God. And she knew a man who served that powerful God. And so she shares this news. And guess what? Naaman listens. Why would he listen? He's in crisis mode. And that's much the same in our life today. If someone does not know Christ and they have no feelings to ever want to, and life is going fine, we can be very arrogant and say, "Well, I don't need church or God. My life's just fine." But when we find ourselves in a crisis, we might find as a Christian that's a perfect time to share your faith. So this young girl shares what she knows. And so Naaman makes his request to the king that he serves to send him to Israel, to Samaria, with a letter to the king stating what he needs, with lots of riches to pay for his healing. The letter reaches the king in Israel, and it says in verse 7, "As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See, how is he trying to pick a quarrel with me?'" The king of Israel at the time was a very self-absorbed man who did not follow God. And in his thoughts, he thought this was a joke. This is ridiculous. But what we need to realize, it's not human beings that do the works of God, the miracles of God, but it's God himself. And this young girl knew that God could do a great thing. And so Naaman makes his way, and Elisha sends a servant to meet Naaman. He tells him, "Go dip in the Jordan River, go down into the bathe in the river 7 different times." Naaman is not happy about this. He's thinking in his mind, "I wanted to come see the man, and you send me the servant. And then you want me to go into this muddy, nasty river. You think this river's better than some of the rivers back where I live? Those rivers are better than this river." And so he's got this thing going on in his mind. He's very arrogant. He's not one to humble himself and be obedient. And so he has a servant say something to him. Verse 13, "Naaman's servant went to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?'" It sounds like such a simple thing. Why don't you just do it? And the following verse says that he humbles himself to do it. He goes down into the river 7 different times, and he comes up out of the water 7th time completely healed. This is a foreshadowing of what happens when we humble ourselves at the feet of Christ and submit to be baptized, to come up to a new life. And then we read in verse 15, "Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, 'Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant.'" A public declaration of his faith in God. There's no other God. "I am cleansed and healed." But what if that girl had not spoken up? That girl had the perfect opportunity, and you and I many times have the perfect opportunity to speak up, to say something about our God and about His Son, Jesus Christ, and share our faith. God calls us to share our faith. God calls us to live out our faith. And God calls us to speak up. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the most impassioned person in all the Bible about telling people about Jesus is the Apostle Paul. And here's what he tells the Ephesians in this book as he closes out. He says, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." You know, if the Apostle Paul requested prayer to be fearless, to share his faith, how much more should we ask the God of the universe to do that for us? This weekend at Superstart, in the last session, the kids were challenged with being kingdom workers. It's what CIY is all about, raising up kingdom workers. At the last session, they handed out Legos. How many of you played with Legos in the past? Perhaps you do today. It's okay to admit it. I grab them out a couple times here and there. But they handed out three Legos to every kid. A blue one that says God on it, a red one that says Jesus, and a yellow one that says us. And they explained the gospel this way. In the beginning of time, there was God. God had a plan to create this world and you and I that live in it. And in the beginning of time, before man had sinned, God had a perfect and right relationship with us. But because sin entered the world and Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and sin now is in the world and it separated us from the love of God and the presence of God, there was just God. We were on the earth, but God and man were not together. But God didn't give up. God came back to this earth in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. He came into this earth to rectify the problem that sin had caused and to sacrifice His life. So He came to earth to be physically with man, with us. And He was for a short time until humans killed Jesus. And for a short moment in time, we were separated. And then Jesus was placed in a tomb to be dead. But we understand that 3 days later, Jesus arose from the dead, defeating death, because He wanted to connect us to God. And so, when we're in a right relationship with Jesus, we're also in the right relationship with God. What's my point? CIY used an illustration of a simple thing, just Legos, to capture the attention of some 4th, 5th, and 6th grade students, to get them to realize sharing your faith is not as complicated as you might think that it is. You could even use Legos to do it. And if Christ in Youth is willing to encourage 4th, 5th, and 6th graders to share their faith, how much more should you and I, as adults, high school students, teenagers in the room, be challenged to share our faith as well? I want to pray for you this morning. And this prayer is similar to the prayer that Paul prayed, asking for God to give us the fierceness to want to ask God to help us share our faith, the call that God has on the Christian. So this morning, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray, asking God to give that to us. And if you want to receive that, if you want God as an outward expression, to raise your hand up high towards the heavens, proclaim to God, "I want that. I want that today." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word that explains to us the gospel message of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You have pursued us from the beginning of time to have a right relationship with who You've created. And Father, today, in the time that we live in, Father, it's just as true now as it was in the time of the Bible, when Scripture was written, when these lives that we read actually existed on this earth, that even today, thousands of years later, You call each and every one of us to be Your ambassadors, to go into our lives, to live our life in a way that attracts people to Your Son through our example, but also to proclaim who your Son is through our words. I pray, Father, you will give us the boldness, just as Paul prayed, that we would go into this world as an ambassador of your Son, Jesus Christ, proclaiming the good news of your Son. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that's been given through your Son, Jesus. We pray this all in his name. Amen. This morning, we give the invitation to receive Christ. And just like the early church, it didn't say that they received Jesus on Sunday morning at 10:30, but that those who came to faith in Christ, it happened daily. The invitation to accept Jesus Christ, the invitation is always on the table. To accept what it is that Jesus Christ has done for you and to lay your life down for the one who's already given his life for you. If you'd like to make the Painted Christian Church your home church, you've already made that decision in your life. You've already been baptized into Christ, but you want to be a part of the body of Christ here in this church, then we welcome you as well this morning. Let's stand and let's sing.